You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon to you. Jim and Trent, we say hello on a very cold, blustery, snowy day in the capital city. Please, if you're listening to the program, please drive carefully. We want you here for the new year. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be going to Memphis in about 15 minutes. John Walters, longtime voice of Iowa State, will be our guest at 4:20. At the 5 o'clock hour, Kevin Lehman will join us. We'll do a lot of college basketball with Kevin. Wolfgang joins the program. And then at the end of the show, Trent and I will have our world-famous picks. Trent, are you frozen yet, pal?
Yeah, it hasn't been pretty out there. I had some running around to do after the show today, after the early show from noon until 2. And it was not pretty out there. So safe travels, as you said, to everybody certainly out there. That is a very important component. We need everybody out there staying safe. Going to be in the car a little bit longer, and that means, well, you're stuck with us for a little bit longer than normal, which is A-OK. We don't mind that. We'd love to have you. Stay safe. There's going to be some morons out there on the roadways. Stay away from them. Let them be goobers, and we will keep you entertained here for the next 2 hours, or at least we'll try, right, Jim?
Yes, that's our job. We don't get paid much for it, but we try to do the best that we possibly can. I already gave out the guest list. It's going to be fun today here on a Friday. Trent, let's get it started first with everything that is going on right now in Memphis and Iowa State and the Cyclones getting ready to match up against the hometown Memphis Tigers at the Liberty Bowl tomorrow. Look, there are thousands and thousands of Cyclone fans there, but I tell people all the time that the fans don't play the game. It's great, as you told me one time, I go for the party. Perfect. But the players go for the game and to play and try to win. I know we have our picks coming up later, but where are you right now without giving out a selection on this game between Memphis and Iowa State?
Well, I don't care about giving out my selection early here. I like Iowa State, and I keep coming back to this defense and what they've done. And just remember the conversations that we had during the summertime, Jimmy B. And summers can be a little bit long around here. We're talking baseball. We're hitting the local. But when we're talking Iowa State, the thing that we continually came back to throughout the year was just, how is this defensive front going to get any better? What are they going to be able to do? Yeah, they were bringing in some junior college guys, and we talked about them. And maybe Jaquan Bailey is going to become better in this season. J.D. Wagner, you know, a guy that comes back. But to get to the level that they have, I think that's just the crazy part about this. I didn't anticipate that this team was going to be able to make this kind of leap this year up front defensively. You just don't see that kind of thing happen. And with Ray Lehman, his emergence early on, and Vernell Trent, you know, a guy that just isn't talked about a whole lot, but he plugged the middle, a little bit undersized in there, you know, just 280 pounds, but he did such a nice job. And we saw Jaquan Bailey, he did take that leap in his sophomore year. What this team is up front, the linebacker play. We talk about Joel Lanning, but Marcel Spears, I think maybe of the three linebackers, maybe the most talented, the most upside of those three, the youngest of the three guys. Willie Harvey, the kind of season that he put together. The front seven this year for Iowa State. I don't think Memphis has seen anything quite like this year. I don't think they've seen a defense and like they're going to see, and especially that front seven. And that isn't even mentioning Brian Peavy, who's going to have, you know, a decision coming up, and DeAndre Payne, and the safety play with Edwards and Cotton Moy, and just Reggie Wilkerson. This defense is good, and that's what I keep coming back to here. I think Iowa State's going to be fine. I'm not worried about the environment, anything like that. It's going to be a 50-50 split. It's not like they're really playing a true road game here. And here's the other component, Jimmy B. When people bring that up, I say, okay, that's all well and good. They'll get to sleep in their own beds, though they won't. They'll be sleeping in a hotel room, Memphis
hotel
will
room.
Tonight. Yeah. But the other component is, are they excited to be there? You get to a bowl game, you're excited to go experience something else, and being at home, it's got to be some kind of just, you know, that has to linger.
I see where you're going with that point. I'll tell you this, though, because it's going to be sold out and the place is going to be nuts. And I have a feeling that that adrenaline rush, players will get that when they walk out onto the field and they see that packed stadium and both respective fan bases challenging each other in the stands. I have a feeling that I would have agreed with you when you get a bowl game that you would like to go someplace. Yes. But I think because of the environment at the game tomorrow, Trent, I think that will still inspire Memphis, even though it is a home game, just because of the surroundings that will take place with that huge crowd. Here's the thing that I feel about this coming game, is that Iowa State has seen these offenses in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
You play Oklahoma, you play Texas Tech, you play Oklahoma State. You've seen all these wild spreads, TCU. I mean, this is really nothing new to what Iowa State's seen for 12 games. And so if that's the case, you know, everybody runs, stuff just a little differently from time to time. But the basic package is there for the spread offense. And I don't think Iowa State's defense is going to be fooled by what Memphis may try to do. And I believe, since Memphis' defense is very porous, that Iowa State's offense, with those big receivers and with a healthy David Montgomery, they have a chance here to really put a stamp on their season with a win.
This is a team that offensively can score in a big way. They put 70 on the board at UConn. They put 56 up against Tulane, 41 at Tulsa, 66 against SMU, 70 against East Carolina, 55 against Central Florida. They can score, but the other component, like you mentioned, and this isn't, you know, to take away of what Riley Ferguson's been able to do this year and Anthony Miller. And what a story, a guy going from a walk-on. He had 92 catches this year for 1,400 yards and 17 touchdowns. And you got to figure, you know, PP, who has a decision to make if he's going to make the jump to the NFL, and we'll find out about that probably not after the game. I'm sure he's going to take some more time and kind of come to that decision. But as you go through here, Jimmy B, Anthony Miller, this is a real fun story, but we're not talking about some physical dynamo here. He's a 5'11 kid from hometown Memphis. He stayed home, mm-hmm. and he's made himself into a good player. But they've seen receivers like this. They've seen talented receivers before. I don't think they're going to blink an eye, and I just keep coming back to that. Defensively, I think Iowa State is going to be too good. I do hope we get an entertaining game. I think it'll be a little more low scoring, though, than some people think, too. I think this one will be more along the lines of 34-28, something like that. I don't see it being a 55-52 kind of shootout like we're seeing right now in the longest bowl game in history. What in God's name is going on as we go down to the final seconds of the Belk Bowl? The Belk Bowl always delivers, Jimmy B, every single year. Wake Forest, Texas A&M. Wake 55, A&M 52, and a fourth down incompletion by A&M. Wake Forest is going to survive, and A&M is they're going to cover, and that's all that I care about.
I know that's all you care about, yes. Look, this game has been nuts. I mean, it has been a track meet, and one spectacular play after the next, and the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and the running backs doing what they do best. This is why we love college football, particularly when it's played wide open the way that these two teams play it. And they did put on an unbelievable offensive display in this game.
Looks like Jimbo Fisher has a little bit of work to do over on the side of the ball. He doesn't do a whole lot with. Defensively, man, Texas A&M is brutal defensively. Remember when they used to be the Wrecking Crew back in the day? What happened to that?
I have no idea.
Jeez.
But they used to have one hell of a defense.
Yeah.
And, man, it just sort of disappeared. I suppose you could lay that on Kevin Sumlin, that he always had great offensive teams and his defenses always struggled. I don't know. But, yeah, that is something that they are going to have to address and address quickly at Texas A&M with their new head coach.
Dat Wynn is not walking through that door. How's there for a
no,
name
he's
blast
not.
For the past?
I love Dat Nguyen. God, that guy could really play, and he played great for the Dallas Cowboys, too.
Dat Nguyen, Leland McElroy, was he the little running back that they had back there?
I
enjoyed myself a little Texas A&M back when they were in the Southwest Conference way back in the day. All right, well, back to the topic at hand here. Back to the local front. Nobody cares about Wake Forest A&M. What they do care about is the locals. Jim, I brought this up to you yesterday, and I could tell you were a little, you weren't willing to go completely down the road. As we talk about the Liberty Bowl, I still think what happens tonight, Iowa State, Kansas State, is bigger for the basketball program than a win would be for the football program against Memphis. You've had 24 hours to decipher what I say. It's a little out there. I get it. It's a Liberty Bowl versus game one of 18 you're going to play in conference, game one of 31 that you're going to play during the regular season. But I just feel if Iowa State, if they have any fashion of being a tournament team, getting off to a good start is so important here. That's why I put this higher on the dock. And I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready for 8 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be tailgating for this one. The Big 12 is going to be so good this year, Jimmy B.
It is. It's going to be highly entertaining college basketball. Look, I can't put it on that level for a bowl victory. Okay, how important is that for this Iowa State program, downtrodden under Paul Rhodes for 3-4 years and 2-3 wins a season? They get a new head coach, gets 3 wins, and now they're in a bowl game. I just can't do that for game one out of the chute of the Big 12. Is it an important game for the basketball team? Abso-freaking-lutely. I'm with you where you say they got to have this game at home in order to get off to a decent start in the Big 12. The Big 12 basketball conference is loaded. Loaded. And this is a conference where they're just going to beat up on each other. And you're going to have nights where you might get beat by 20. And you might be a good team and lose by 20. So this is going to be a very, very interesting game tonight. I think they'll still draw a decent crowd, although with the weather the way that it is right now, Trent, that crowd may shrink.
Yeah, that's a good point and something we hadn't talked about with 25,000 people down in Memphis and the students off on break. And now you got the weather on top of it. It's going to be probably a different kind of environment, certainly there tonight. Well, another guy that won't be there, the voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, John Walters. He will be with us next, though. We'll talk with John live from Beale Street, getting ready for the parade. John did tell me, Jimmy B, might be a little loud when we talk to him. So get your hearing aid set. All right, so you're going to be able to cover it, and we'll be good to go. We'll be talking with John Walters coming
up
here.
Hello, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
All right, get out of here, you goobers. Stop knocking on your microphone. We'll come back. John Walters, the voice of the Cyclones, he joins us on the other side. It's Jimmy B and TC.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber
and Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
Sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere.
Hooray! Your holiday shopping's done. You killed it. You got deals on gifts for everyone from Nana to your nephew to your neighbor's cat. And of course, you absolutely totally got everything you wanted for yourself. There's nothing else you could possibly think of getting. But did you check eBay? Check eBay Fashion and get unmissable deals on all the styles you really wanted this holiday season. Like up to 70% off the hottest fashion brands like Adidas, Steve Madden, and Calvin Klein. eBay End of Season Sale. Going on now. eBay. Fill your cart with color.
When you're hungry for great food, a tasty cocktail, or a good glass of wine, a friendly atmosphere and fast attentive service, remember Jesse's Embers at 3301 Ingersoll Avenue. Open Monday through Saturday for dinner and Monday through Friday for lunch beginning at 11 a.m. Jesse serves just about everything, including some of the best steaks you've ever tasted, cooked on an open grill, located right inside. The smells are fabulous. And Marty or Dina stop to check on your meal, and the bartenders, well, they're on your side. Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll, just west of 31st Street.
When you choose Ankeny Towing for your 24-hour towing and roadside assistance needs, you'll get the fast service you need from their courteous and reliable team. From towing for cars and motorcycles to accident recovery, jump starts, lockouts, fuel delivery, tire changes, and more, you'll get superior service from Ankeny Towing. Ankeny Towing is the preferred towing provider for most insurance companies, and they're on call 24/7. Program 515-964-9816 into your phone now for Ankeny Towing. That's 515-964-9816. Ankeny Towing, your reliable towing.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. Then you.
Oh, we get some singing out of you today, Jimmy B. Wow.
Then you. Oh, man, that's great, Trent. Good stuff out of that. Look, John Walters, I don't know if he's been taking part in the beer contest down there, but I just saw that they drank one refreshment stand absolutely dry. And they've ordered like 19 more cases to arrive.
That's not surprising, guys.
John, how are you?
Sorry,
that's not Sprite. No, it's not. Okay, how are you, pal? How's everything?
Everything's good. It's a parade of cardinal and gold down here, and of course, obviously, Memphis will have a lot of fans at the game too. But everywhere I look, I see Iowa State fans. So. It's pretty good.
quite the environment. And, you know, it, John, when we see this happen, we see it happen in Kansas City every year for the Big 12 tournament. We see it at bowl games. Just the way this fan base, they support things throughout thick and thin, year after year after year. And to see that and be hundreds of miles away from home, what does it mean to you to be the voice of the radio, to be the voice of Iowa State, Cyclones TV, and everything that you do, just to see the support? And it doesn't matter if you guys are home at Hilton Coliseum or Jack Trice Stadium or on the road, just how important Iowa State athletics is to the people of Iowa State.
It's a great point you make. And, you know, I mean, Cyclones.TV and some of the things that we do really would not exist without what we're seeing here. You know, we had a pep rally today at the stadium, the baseball stadium, AutoZone Park, where the Memphis Redbirds play. And our officials met with their officials, you know, midweek and whatever. And they said, how many people do you think will be there? And our people said, well, what does the place hold? And they said, well, 11,000, but you're not going to have that many. And they said, we'll have 11,000. And there were at least 11,000, if not more. And every seat was full, and they had hillsides there just like at Jack Trice Stadium. Those were all full, and it was just awesome. So that was a lot of fun. They just finished up the Beale Street Parade. Like I said, everywhere you turn, there's Cardinal and Gold. Now, I don't know if every one of these people has gotten their hands on tickets. It's a 58,000-seat stadium. I will say this. If every person I've seen in Cardinal Gold did get their hands on tickets, then I think it's even going to be more than 50-50 Iowa State fans in the stadium tomorrow. I would have guessed about 40-60, but, man, there's a ton of Cyclone fans out here, and it's awesome, and it does make it all feel worthwhile, Trent. It makes you feel like that these fans understand that there's something special happening with Matt Campbell, and they want to be a part of it, and they want to be in on the ground floor of it, and that's why this is so cool to see.
John, under Paul Rhodes, the team went to a couple of bowl games, lost them. This is the first bowl game for Iowa State under Matt Campbell. How important do you think to get a victory here?
And I'm sorry, I apologize, Tim. I heard you mention the importance of winning the game, I think. And I think for Matt, this is there's been a lot of focus with everybody else on all the stuff surrounding the game, and he's good with that, and he wants his guys to experience that, and he wants everybody to get maximum enjoyment out of the trip. But doggone it, at the end of the day, he wants to win the bowl game, and that's the number one priority, and he knows that this trip is going to be a really memorable, positive experience for his football players, and particularly that senior class, if Iowa State wins the game. And if they don't, it'll still be a great experience, but it would be nowhere near as memorable as it's going to be if Iowa State can find a way to beat Memphis. So he's really been putting his focus on winning the game, finding a way to get as fully prepared as possible for a really explosive Memphis offense, and finding the best game plan possible to beat these guys. And it's going to take something pretty special because they're good. They're really good. And they average 48 points a game, and they put up almost 500 yards a game, and they're up there nationally with any offense you'll see. So Iowa State's going to have to play very, very well. But I think Matt feels good about his team and where they're staying.
So you mentioned Memphis, and everybody starts with the quarterback, Riley Ferguson, and Miller, the outstanding wide receiver with them. What else have you been able to uncover about this squad that has impressed you as you looked at them, John?
Well, I think if you look at playmakers, you just mentioned the top two, but it's not a very far drop-off to the next two, which is Darrell Henderson, the outstanding running back, who averages 9 yards a carry, tops among any running back in college football. And it's not like he's only had 10 carries. I mean, the guy is a 1,000-yard rusher that's averaged 9 yards a carry. So he and the other running back, Taylor, are both really effective. Taylor's had 3 straight 100-yard games. Henderson's had 5 straight 100-yard games. So they've been able to run the ball, even though Ferguson's a great quarterback and Miller's a great receiver. They have been able to run the ball. They have a very experienced offensive line with 3 returning starters. And then on top of that, they have one of the best kick return games in college football. They've returned 7 kickoffs for touchdowns in the last 19 games. That's unheard of. I mean, that's an absolutely ridiculous stat. And Tony Pollard, was their top kick return guy. Sorry, the police are going by me here on their motorcycle. Tony Pollard, their top kick return guy, he's a sophomore, okay, and he's returned 6 kickoffs for touchdowns in his career. And they don't kick it to him very often, so he's only had 19 opportunities to return this year, and he's returned 4 of them for touchdowns. And he'll take it from 8-9 yards deep, and he doesn't care. He's bringing it out, just like the NFL guys do. And so that's something definitely to keep an eye on. They love to score with their special teams. They are really explosive with their playmakers, and they know how to get those guys involved. They'll line up Pollard at running back. They'll line him up at receiver. He'll definitely be on puck return, kick return, everything else. And so they're going to try to find ways to get the ball in his hands.
We're having a conversation right now with John Walters, longtime voice of Iowa State Cyclones. He is in Memphis. All right. Tomorrow, when the teams take the field, John, it's my contention that Iowa State has seen this offense throughout the Big 12, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, TCU, that the defense of Iowa State will be maybe the best defense that Memphis has faced. Am I way off base with that, or are you in agreement?
No, I think you're right. I think this will be the best defense they've faced. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, Iowa State has allowed less than 20 points a game in conference play in one of the more explosive conferences in college football. And so this is not some thing that just happened for a game or two. It happened over the course of an entire season. The defense has been really, really good. John Hancock has done an outstanding job. And absolutely, this will test Memphis because the three-man front is really a challenge to teams that love to throw the ball down the field vertically. It takes a lot of that stuff away. And so you challenge them to say, okay, you want to run, you want to pass, you want to throw it deep. We're going to take away one of the three. Now, you can do some of the underneath stuff with the passing game, and you can do the running game maybe to a certain extent. But Iowa State's been pretty good at coming up and stuffing the run. And so if they can do that with a three-man front, if they can slow down the run game of Memphis, then they really put them in some tough situations. And so I think this is the best defense they've faced. I think Iowa State's really ready for that challenge of facing this offense and all their explosive playmakers. But Ferguson's really good, and you could play really well defensively and still get beat. That's still something that's out there. But I think Iowa State will be ready to go defensively tomorrow.
Wanted to get your thoughts on Brian Peavy, still determining if he's going to make the jump to the NFL or come back for a senior season, John. A decision to be had. Not a huge guy, at least in terms of hype by any means, but so good. I mean, he looks like he's destined to be a nickel cornerback at the next level. He said yesterday, I think he said he was 50-50. What are you hearing about Brian Peavy?
Well, that's totally in his wheelhouse, what he's going to do. And I wish him well. If he ends up deciding he wants to give the NFL a try and he feels like he's ready, then I certainly wish him well. I would love nothing more than to have him around for another year because the guy is sensational. And teams just do not throw the ball his way. But the thing about tomorrow is, you know, Miller is an outstanding receiver, and he carries way by far the majority of the bulk of the work for those Memphis receivers. They have other good ones, but he is the one that you know, really piles up the stats. But he won't be lined up opposite Peavy every play. You know, Peavy right. plays his side of the field, and DeAndre Payne plays his side of the field. And if they move Miller around, both those guys are going to have the responsibility of defending him. And I think Iowa State feels confident that both DeAndre Payne and Brian Peavy can defend Anthony Miller. For Brian, this is a really exciting time. If he does well tomorrow against Miller, in the opportunities that he gets, it'll remind me a little bit of Leonard Johnson, you know, when he went against Oklahoma State, Des Bryant, and really shut him down. And it made Leonard a lot of money at the NFL. And I think that opportunity presents itself tomorrow for Brian Peavy if he plays well in the opportunities he gets. It won't be every play, but there's going to be plenty of times where he is matched up against Miller, and he's going to have to make some plays. And I think Brian's capable of doing that.
All right, so we know what's going to take place in the passing game with the wide receivers. How about the running game and David Montgomery? John, I've been watching all the stories. At one time, he was 100%. Now he says he's 150. Then it was 175%. John, how big a game? Yeah, go ahead.
No, if David Montgomery feels 150%, I can't wait to see it because that's going to be really, really good. I mean, when the guy feels 100%, he's been easily one of the best running backs in college football. So if he's feeling 150%, then I can't wait to see what we have in store. But, you know, Memphis, defensively, they give up some yards, they give up some points, they do turn teams over. That's their strength. Mm-hmm. They force 30 turnovers, and they're going to try to turn the ball over. They're going to try to strip you. They're going to try to get interceptions. But the bottom line is Iowa State has not fumbled all season, and no team in the history of FBS has gone through an entire season without a fumble. But Iowa State to this point has done that, and I think it's largely because of David Montgomery. And so it'll be a chess match there tomorrow, too. But I think if David is efficient running the football and Iowa State isn't turning the ball over, they're going to keep going to him. He's their bell cow. And they will go to him as long as they can have success and move the chains to keep that Memphis offense off the field. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if David Montgomery had a 200-yard rushing game tomorrow.
John Walters, the voice of Iowa State, with us here. Big game out of Montgomery. That'd be certainly a great thing to see. Hey, John, over to a little basketball before we let you run and get back to the fun down there in Memphis. You look at this basketball team, a big start, I think, in front of them. And I've, as some people think, a crazy theory. I just think this game is so important for them tonight against Kansas State. First, what do you think the environment's going to be? Not only do you got 25,000 of your closest friends down there in Memphis, students are off on break. Now we're getting bad weather. What's it going to be like in Hilton, do you think, tonight?
It'll be packed. It'll be an awesome environment. I mean, people will give up their tickets to friends and make sure that those seats are full. And it might not be one of those where every single seat is full in the arena, but it's going to be awfully close. It'll be a really good environment and a really good test for Iowa State to get it started. Kansas State's been playing well. They have some veteran guys, Dean Wade, Barry Brown. They have some good players, you know, and Tomas Stokes. There's a lot of guys that were on that team a year ago that are back. And so I think Iowa State will be put to the test fully tonight. And if they can find a way to win and protect their home floor tonight, it would be a tremendous start to Big 12 conference play. You got Texas coming in on January 1st. I mean, if they can protect their home floor and start off 2-0 in conference play, they'd be riding the 11-game winning streak onto the road. That would be really, really salty and would probably put them in the top 25. So got to take care of business at home. It's going to be a long, tough conference race, but you've got to protect your home floor. Particularly, you're playing two teams that are not the top 25 teams right now. There's six of them that are. You're playing two of them that aren't on your home floor. You better find a way to win those two games.
John, I know that you're in Memphis, but I'm sure that you've been communicating back to Ames. Any word yet on Hans Brace, if he's going to play tonight, and also anybody else that may have an opportunity to finally lace them up?
Well, I don't think the word is probably too encouraging on Zarat Tally, and I'm not saying there's anything I've heard that's discouraging. I just don't think they expected him to be back tonight. So Zarat's probably out. Jacoby Long and Hans Brace, they were kind of waiting. It would probably be a game-time type of decision. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they're just at eight players tonight, maybe even seven, and they're going to have to find a way to adapt. I mean, it's just part of it. And that's going to be especially challenging in the conference game. But I haven't heard anything official, Jim. I just anticipate probably no more than nine, but I would say eight or seven, somewhere in that range, are what's likely to suit up for Iowa State.
Good stuff. John, back to it. We'll let you – well, I know you finished dinner, so I have a feeling I know what's on the docket for you next.
I'm going to find a place to watch that game, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a way to watch that Kansas State Iowa State basketball game.
Have a good one, John. Thanks for your time today.
Right.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
Great stuff. John Walters, longtime voice of Iowa State, and having a great time in Memphis. Trent, I've kind of been following it on Twitter a little bit.
Yep.
And different establishments, apparently, on Beale Street, they have drank those places dry.
Mm-hmm. See it all
Unbelievable.
The time. It's Iowans wherever they go. It happens,
yes.
Jimmy B. I've seen it happen before. I've been a part of it. It happens. Why don't people understand that we like to drink beer Just get us a beer. It doesn't have to be fancy beer. We don't have to have anything from some craft beer stand. Just get us a buttload of cheap beer. We're happy. Give it to us. Fill up the cup and leave us do our thing. I mean, why is this so difficult for cities year after year after year? They know it's coming. They know it's happening. Yeah. And they don't understand it. It's baffling.
Didn't Iowa fans do the same thing almost in when they were at Indianapolis in the Big Ten championship game? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Day before the game. It wasn't even that wasn't even a bowl trip. That was a one-off kind of thing where people got in there Friday night maybe or Saturday morning, and they drank about a beer at those establishments. And the Iowa officials tell them that. I know the Iowa State officials tell them that. It happens time after time, and they don't listen. Oh, we've had big crowds before. We know.
Yeah.
We had Tennessee come here. We do it differently here in the upper Midwest. We like our beer. We're not like those people on the other side of the northern border. Us, the Wisconsin people, we like to booze. We like to party, have a good time. Just get us our beer. Why do they make it so difficult, Jimmy B? Why don't they listen to us?
I have no idea, but it's cracking me up where these, the former pro wrestler Jerry Lawler has a place there.
I was there when I was in Memphis, yes.
Yeah, it's dry. Silky Sullivan's, where our partner John Walters was just talking to us from, dry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people, they're like calling different beer companies saying, dude, you got to get over here with the truck right away.
Well, I have a feeling Iowans also know how to figure out a way, and they will find a way to get it done. Hey, maybe it's shipped into whiskey. You got to be a little careful when you do that. You go from the beer to whiskey. But they'll find a way. They'll have their cocktails, and they got a long day still in front of them. Talked to John right before we came on the air. The parade's already finished up, so that's out of the way. Now people have been drinking throughout the day. Remember, the Iowa State game tonight, it doesn't tip off until 8 o'clock Central Time.
Right.
So you're going to have some lubricated people. And if Iowa, if Iowa State isn't playing well, though, that could get a little scary down there.
Ooh, boy, you're right. I didn't equate that into this situation. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, if Kansas State has their way, oh, boy, things could get ugly in Memphis in a hurry.
Don't want to see that. Well, we'll come back here. We got about an hour and 20 minutes left to go in the program. Kevin Lehman, he's going to join us to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk with KL about everything going on in the Big Four. Wolfgang will be here, and then Jimmy B will be making his picks along with myself. Though Jimmy B is the only one you should care about. 58% Brinson. I'm still baffled by it.
I always tell you from time to time, and you just look at me like I've lost my mind, sometimes it's good to be Jimmy B.
It is, and it's a good time.
It is.
Right now. We'll come back on the other side. Still a lot to come. You could join us as well here, 515-264-1700. Some time for your open phone calls again, 264-1700.
Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Swing and a miss. Slam dunk. Touchdown. Sports.
It's Jimmy B and TC.
Oh, yeah, the word you're looking for is wow.
Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. Thank you for staying with us. Please, we beg you to drive carefully, and the weather's only going to get worse. In the 5 o'clock hour, Kevin Lehman will be coming up. We'll talk a lot of basketball with him. Wolfgang will join the program following that. And don't forget, before the end of the show, Trent and I will do our world-famous picks as well. Trent, some of these bowl games, I mean, that Texas A&M Wake Forest game was crazy. And now that we got the Northwestern Kentucky game on, it's interesting because they have lost Thorson, the Northwestern quarterback, and yet still Northwestern has a 10-7 lead over Kentucky.
Well, and maybe even more importantly than that, Benny Snell, the outstanding running back for Kentucky, he has just been ejected from the game, Jimmy B. Happened right when we went to commercial break. He was ejected from the game, and I'm watching it, and I'm seeing them replay it. So the official went to help him up, and he basically said, no, I'm good. I don't need anything. Bumped into him, to the official, not in an angry way, not anything like that. He didn't want the official's help to get up. He was frustrated about something. That was it. That's what he got ejected for. They said he made contact with the official as he was trying to get up on his own. Referees, this drives me up a wall, Jim. This is something referees making it about themselves. And this is exactly what happened in this game. A bowl game, and you eject a player because he won't accept your help up. What are we doing here? What are these referees trying to do? I understand it's a difficult job. I get it. I've refereed at a pretty high level before. I know how difficult it can be. But these are the moments that give referees and officials bad names. Ejecting a kid for something like that, it is asinine to do that, and that's what happened in this game. And now Kentucky will be without their best player.
It's amazing how some of those things can be misread like that. I hate it when officials don't give the benefit of the doubt on something like that. I really do, Trent. And right then and there, that should have been the benefit of the doubt. And that really bothers me when that took place. I just don't understand why it was that big a deal. He declined to be helped up. Okay, declined it. And then when he got up, you're right, he did sort of bump into the guy. But you were right. It wasn't like it was anything that was had any angriness to it.
No.
And yeah, and so I'm really kind of disappointed in what we watched right there.
It's unthinkable. It leaves you scratching your head. And you know, Jim, the sport most difficult to officiate, it's basketball. And I get so annoyed in games where you can see it happen right away. Oh, this is going to be one of those games where it's about the officials. It's about TV Teddy Valentine. He's going to make the game about him, and you can see it happening from a mile away. What is it? Is it just different guys are wired in different ways?
Yeah.
All upset about the Kentucky fans and going after Huggins. Huggins. Who was that? Referee from down in Kansas City.
The official. Omaha. Omaha, Higgins, John Higgins.
John Higgins, yes. There it is, yeah.
Yes.
You know, you got all fired up about that one.
I did.
Those are fans being goobers. That's what they do. But you also have to realize there are officials that do make it about them, too. It's not just a one-sided affair. Officials take a lot of crap. They get probably too much. But there's also officials that make it about themselves. And that also is annoying, just as a fan. As a fan of the sport, the guys that take it too far on that level.
I read you loud and clear on that, and I'm with you, but what those terrible Kentucky fans did was absolutely outrageous, and that should never, ever be the case, and John Higgins, who is a decent official, never should have been put in that situation, and from that standpoint, Kentucky fans pretty much suck, and they have for a long time because you have that element. And I know every fan base does. Iowa State has it. Iowa has it. They all have goobers, as you like to call them. And they think that they're getting hosed on every call. But taking it to that extreme, Trent, was just awful at that time. It really was.
So what else is on the docket? We got bowl games going on throughout the weekend. What pumps you up? Obviously, college football playoff. That'll be
huge.
Well,
tonight... is USC Ohio State.
That does it for you, huh? Two teams that disappointed, but you're pumped up for it, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm very excited about this. You have two of college football's premier teams who both could make arguments to be in the Final Four. Both of them can. And they're not, and they're going to play each other, and we get to watch it as college football fans. I mean, this is good. This is real good. For tonight, I'm really going to enjoy that game.
Motivation in this game.
Yes.
Who has more of it? Ohio State, who was a whisker away from being in there. USC, though you look deeper at their resume, it was probably better than I think people gave it credit for.
Yes.
They finished at number 8 overall, though, with no real shot at getting into the college football playoff. Who wants to be there more? It's got to be tough for either side to get up. And I guess if I had to take a feel of this one, Ohio State, I guess I have more confidence in Urban Meyer to get his team up, but over Clay Helton, because he's done it before, but we've seen clunkers out of Ohio State too. I just know what I'm really actually looking forward to in this game more than anything? I'll be watching throughout the night, is hearing them talk about the Iowa game. That's what I'm pumped up about, because you know that's going to be brought up, what, at least a half dozen times tonight.
Probably. It probably will. I mean, look, if I told you a couple of days ago, for Hawkeye fans, now you can hang your hat on the pinstripe victory. Finally, a bowl win. But the two best wins that you had all season, on the road at Iowa State and the home game blowout of Ohio State. And not only that, you knock Ohio State out of the Big Four. So from that standpoint, if you're a Hawk fan, that gives you at least some satisfaction that you kept the Buckeyes out of participating in the championship series. From that standpoint, if you're a Hawk fan, you'll take that over anything.
So right now there's three bowl games going on. We mentioned Benny Snell ejected for Kentucky as Northwestern leads that one 10-7 in the second quarter. NC State going to polish off Arizona State. They're up 21. That one in the third. Jimmy B, do you know the other bowl game going on right now?
Yes, I do. It includes New Mexico State, who hasn't played in a bowl game in like 462 years, and they're playing Utah State. And right now, in the first quarter, Utah State leads it 7-3.
Look at you. You're up to date. You got your eye on that one. So, Jimmy B, tell us about New Mexico State playing back in 1960. Tell us all about that game. I know you were there.
I was there. I did radio on that game. And from – no, I did not. I don't know. I have no freaking clue.
Oh, Jim, come on.
Do people even know where New Mexico State's located besides me in beautiful Las Cruces, New Mexico?
I knew that. Do you know who their basketball coach is? You should be able to get this one, I would hope, Jimmy B, because it has a connection to our fine state of Iowa.
No, I just blanked on who it is.
Paul Weir, who was an assistant coach.
Oh, it is.
Assistant coach under Steve Alford back in the day. I believe he started maybe even as a grad student before he took over as, what do they call that? The video coordinator
graduate
job.
Graduate assistant video coordinator. That's what they call it.
And, Chris Johns, he's a guy from Iowa, grew up. Wapsie Valley maybe is where he's from, something like that. But, there you go. You get a... Crazy. A guy like that.
Well, New Mexico State's basketball team is good this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
They're gonna be an NCAA tournament team.
Pretty nice, right?
So, I can't believe we're sitting here yakking on New Mexico State, but they are in a bowl game playing Utah State as we speak.
He's done a nice job. He has done.
I know.
Paul Weir now at New Mexico, who took over the job. And then you get Chris Jans on the other side from two Iowa guys running the programs at New Mexico and New Mexico State. How wild is that?
That's good stuff. All right, we got to get a break in here at the top of the hour. Kevin Lehman is coming up. We'll do a lot of local basketball with him. Wolfgang follows, and then Trent and I will have our great picks. And we've been on fire. You guys should be listening to us. We're coming right back, everybody, with the second hour right here on the Big Talker 1700.